In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's gospel reading has got it all. Accusations, heartache, skepticism, a miraculous resurrection, messianic emotionalism, and divine communication, all in the span of 8 verses. It also has the single shortest verse in the entire Bible, at least in the King James Version. Jesus wept. Other than the instance of Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem in Luke's Gospel, perhaps anticipating the destruction of the temple, it is the only time in the Bible when Jesus cries. That's what today's reading from John truly centers on, those two words, Jesus wept. It may not be the most dramatic verse in the passage. That would have to be the final verse, where Jesus calls into the burial cave, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus walks out, still bound in his burial cloths. It's hard to get more dramatic than a resurrection. And unlike the resurrection of Jesus himself, we see this one happen in real time, as it were. Whenever I read this passage from John, I can't help but picture the scene from Martin Scorsese's 1988 film, The Last Temptation of Christ, where Jesus beckons Lazarus to come out of the tomb, not just with words, but with a motion of his arms that suggests he is almost pulling Lazarus back to life. It's an incredibly dramatic scene in an incredibly dramatic movie. But the last verse in today's Bible reading doesn't really draw us in emotionally, does it? The raising of Lazarus impresses us and must have stunned those who were there to witness it. But in this story, what really captures at least my attention are those two words, Jesus wept. On first reading, those words surprise us because although Jesus was both fully human and fully divine, when we think of Jesus, as I hope we all do from time to time, we tend to focus more on his divine nature. And miracles like the one we get today tend to reinforce that focus. After all, mere mortals don't raise the dead. But Jesus was indeed human and experienced human emotion. And what emotion is more human than grief in the face of the loss of a dear friend? Just that visual reminder of Jesus' humanity, tears of sadness over the death of his friend, draws us in and should remind us that Jesus knew and experienced the same joys and heartaches that we all do. Jesus is no stranger to this human earthly life. But the pull and the mystery of this shortest verse runs even deeper. Jesus was brought to tears even though he knew Lazarus would be alive again very soon. Think about that. Jesus could easily have said to those around him, "Look, there's really no need for you to cry because I'm about to make everything right. Just watch." Why didn't he say that? If our neighbor's house is demolished in a storm, and the family is standing on their front lawn after the storm has passed, looking at the ruins of their home, and you have the ability to snap your fingers and completely restore their house, you might say something similar to them along the lines of, "Watch this and prepare to get happy." Jesus doesn't do that. And I suspect the reason he doesn't do that is this. Jesus did not come into this world to remove in an instant all the sorrows that we experience as we go through life. He came into this world to know it just as we do and to lead us through it toward the kingdom of God. That place where, as this morning's reading from Revelation says, death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. Today is All Saints Sunday. And that is also, in a way, the mission of those holy women and men throughout the centuries, to guide us along right pathways, to point the way to the kingdom. Jesus knew that this path was not one of those moving walkways you see in major airports where you just coast along to your destination without having to lift so much as a finger. I do love those walkways. We have to walk ourselves. And the ground can be rocky at times. So even though Jesus knew that he would raise Lazarus from the dead, even though he knew that, in the words of the medieval English Saint Julian of Norwich, all will be well and all will be well and all manner of thing will be well, the journey to that future would have sorrows as well as joys. So Jesus cried, perhaps as much for his friend's grief as for his own. But temporary grief is still grief. Temporary suffering is still suffering. And so we follow St. Paul's instructions to us in his letter to the Romans. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. This is exactly what Jesus does on that day in Bethany for those who love Lazarus. Mourning with those who mourn, and then making life better for them as he is able. This leads to perhaps the other great mystery in the story from John. Unlike the mystery of why Jesus wept over a friend whose death he was about to reverse, this second wonderment is spelled out word for word in this morning's reading from John, which says, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? The he spoken of here is, of course, Jesus. But we could ask the same question of God. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? That is a specific way of asking the more general question, why do we experience loss? Why is this world not heaven? Every one of you who brought a photo of a departed loved one to church for today's service has experienced loss. And my guess is that most of the rest of you have as well. If there's anyone over 40 who hasn't experienced loss in this life, come see me after church, because I want to know your secret. In fact, I'll give you the mic at coffee hour. There are two central messages in today's Bible readings for All Saints Sunday. The first is that God will bring us all to a new life of peace and joy in the course of time. The second is that between now and that day, our calling is to build by the grace of God a world that more and more closely resembles the vision described in today's readings, where wounds are healed, tears are wiped away, and where we share with each other in God's presence a great feast with all God's people. Why is this world not already heaven? I suspect it's because in this world, if this world were already heaven, we would have nothing to work for and no need for hope, because neither is needed in the kingdom of heaven. But in this world, we are to be for others what those we remember here today have been for us, sources of love and strength and support. Pray God that those who come after us will remember us as blessings, just as we remember those who came before us, our families and friends, and those who came before us in the church and in this church, all in their own way, saints of God, saints to us. Amen.